This is the biggest myth out there. Anytime I talk to doctors, I say, I need everyone to listen to me right now.
Shut up and listen.
Listen.
This is Mayo Clinic on Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic, where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian with Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. This episode, veganism. In the last decade or so, we've seen veganism go from being considered kind of a radical diet to a serious long-term lifestyle. There are now vegan options at restaurants and grocery stores. And in a recent market research survey of over 1,000 Americans, more than one-third of them expressed interest in going vegan. Plant-based diets are here to stay with plenty of benefits for the planet and your health. Here to talk to me about those benefits is Dr. Dawn Musalem. She's a doctor of osteopathic medicine who specializes in holistic care for breast cancer patients at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Musalem is a longtime vegan with an incredible passion for this topic, fueled by her remarkable life story. Thank you for being here with me, Dr. Musalem. I really appreciate your time today.
Tara, thanks for having me. I think you and I love food. Food is medicine. Food is love. Food is a lot of things. It's culture. So I'm so excited to talk about our topic.
I would love to start, if you're comfortable, with you sharing your story. I think your story is so cool and it's amazing, and you're a physician on top of it. So do you mind telling us your background and what brought you to veganism, kind of your journey, I'll call it?
When I was a kid, I would tell people I wanted to be a doctor. And so from a very young age, I set forth to be very healthy. It was just a passion of mine as a kid. It was so cool. Fortunately enough, my family was very healthy as well. So went on to undergraduate studies, studied exercise physiology and nutrition, went on to medical school, followed my dream, and a few months into medical school, wasn't feeling good. Saw multiple doctors. They told me it's in your head. Then I eventually collapsed one day, ended up in the hospital. Next day, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I was given 3 months to live without treatment, 20 months to live with treatment. It was a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. They had told me I needed to drop out of medical school. I wouldn't be able to have kids one day.
Oh my gosh. And were you in your 20s at this point in time?
Yeah, I was 26. This is in the year 2000, long time ago. Went through chemo, radiation, a bone marrow transplant, stayed in school the whole time. A few years later, was fortunate enough to be able to have a daughter. And then after delivering my daughter, I developed advanced heart failure. This is when I became a patient at Mayo Clinic. I was finishing up my training at Mayo Clinic. So Mayo Clinic filled my heart, my family's heart, with hope and love and knowing that, gosh, we would start with medicines. When medicines aren't enough, we may need to move on to procedures. And one day you may need a heart transplant. Well, come 2015, 2016, this was a good 10 years with heart failure, kind of waxing and waning, complications along the way, but still able to work. 2015 started to really take a nosedive. And then in 2016, I had a near-death experience with a ventricular fibrillation arrest while presenting at Mayo Clinic.
And oh my gosh.
From that point forward, it just continued to go downhill. I was listed for heart transplant in 2019. I was admitted to the hospital because I continued to decline and no match was found for me for over a year.
Wow.
So I was eventually admitted to the hospital in 2020, where I waited for my heart and they found a matching heart February 5th. 2021. And that's when I had my heart transplant. I wanted to really show people like, wow, amid chronic disease, major disease, how do you attain your vitality? And that was what was so unique with me is I never left that healthy eating.
Wow.
I continued to eat healthy the entire time, continued to exercise, continued to really uphold elements of my positive experience with all of this. And that was how I remained well. And I did the same thing with heart transplant. And after heart transplant, I had said, gosh, I want to try to run a marathon on my 1 year heart transplant anniversary.
Oh my gosh, you're insane.
It was crazy, right? My doctor said, you're pretty sick.
Yeah.
But I did it. And,
oh my
you
gosh.
Know, I attribute the ability to do the transplant 100% to the diet because it allowed me to have the anti-inflammation, the quick recovery. I mean, I ran 7 marathons since my transplant. And it's like the next day I can go run after I run a marathon. It's crazy. I'm on all these medicines, you know? It's the diet, guys. It's like,
oh my gosh.
It is so healthy and it's so energizing. And so it's food is medicine, food is love, food is energizing. That's why I love it. And I'm excited to hopefully inspire and empower and help you make your plate plant powered.
This is exactly why I asked you to share your story. Did you become a vegan as an adolescent or did you do that as an adult?
We were whole food, plant predominant. We would have small amounts of animal protein. But in the seventh grade, I became vegan entirely. And there's this hilarious story. I was a competitive gymnast in high school all the way through. But I remember like in between practice, it was hard to get vegan food. So I'd go to Wendy's and I'd go through the drive-thru, you know, and I'd say, okay, I want a Kaiser roll with a lot of lettuce and tomato. And they would charge me 20 cents.
Oh, they're like, Dawn's here.
Yeah, so that's what I would eat. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really encouraging that now that I really know how to do, you know, I don't even use that word vegan and we'll get into it. I like the word whole food, plant-based. I love that because vegan, what does that mean? Veganism or whole food plant predominant has been a part of my diet from the get-go.
I like to use that phrase too, because I think the word vegan scares people, right? They're like, you are about to take away 1,000 foods. I'm like, well, let's start with plant forward. Let's start with plant based. And we can still keep some animal proteins in, should you wish. And if you want to get rid of them over time, that's great. And if not, I can handle that too. But I think that the definition of vegan or veganism is scary because that is absolutely no animal products of any kind, right? Even some vegans do not eat honey because it is derived from bees.
My biggest concern with the word vegan is it doesn't tell us about the quality of the diet. The reason I love whole food plant-based is the first part of that, actually the whole food part.
Yeah.
Whole foods to me would be getting rid of those foods that are coming from a factory that aren't from nature. So I prefer for patients to get a diet that's as close to nature as possible. Ones that are going to include vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes. Mm-hmm. That would be beans, split peas, lentils, and then nuts and seeds. That's going to be the diet that has been shown in high quality research studies to not only prevent disease, which is our number one responsibility, but to also treat many of the chronic diseases we see and even reverse some of those chronic diseases. And we know that over 60% of the American adult diet is ultra processed foods. This is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
We know that ultra processed food increase premature deaths from every single cause. There was a great study. So I am a breast cancer specialist and my specialty is lifestyle medicine for women with breast cancer. And about 99% of what I do is help them on board with whole food, plant predominant nutrition at the time of diagnosis throughout the remainder of their life. That's my goal. And you know, I bet anything is that when they start eating healthier and beyond, you know, we're reducing the risk of all diseases. We're not just improving breast cancer outcomes. The number one reason women who are breast cancer survivors actually die is the number one reason both men and women die, period. It's heart disease.
Yep.
You know, so eating and getting rid of these ultra processed foods is so important and leaning more in on the plant-based component. I can't drive that home enough.
So we have vegan, we have vegetarian, we have lacto-vegetarian, we have lacto-ovo-vegetarian, we have flexitarian. So lots and lots and lots of words. And I'm not even sure we need to go into the definition of those because the purpose of our conversation is to kind of, I would say, demystify the scariness around a whole food plant-based diet, promote all of the wonderful, wonderful things that come with these foods. And we're not going to be scared of carbohydrates and we're not going to call bananas too high in sugar, which my blood pressure is like going up as we speak about that. That's one of my pet peeves because I always used to use an example. A lot of teenagers experiment, myself included, with veganism or vegetarianism. And a very, very popular, very ultra-processed cookie is vegan. So you could be a teenager and eating cookies, pasta, or cookies and fries, and you are vegan. So like you said, I want to hear what you are eating, not what you are not eating.
Being whole food plant-based, it's a pattern of eating that's quite free. You know, it's really not exclusionary. It's just sticking as close to nature as possible. The one thing that I think is just fascinating too is when you look at these fake foods, that food hijacks the palate. We are making our food hyper palatable. We no longer, as Americans who are used to that standard American diet, can taste how delicious a strawberry is.
Exactly.
Because it's not heightened enough. So it takes a while to retrain the palate to appreciate food that's close to nature. And that's so cool to be able to watch people have that transformation to actually enjoy food again. And the natural food's so colorful naturally. It's just beautiful. So it's really kind of like a smorgasbord for the senses is people on board with this whole food, plant-based way of eating. It's just a thrill to see it.
When you talk to your patients, do you commit to a veganism discussion or do you let the patient's preferences drive it?
Yeah, it's so important to meet the patient where they're at. And that's the first question I ask her, what are your goals for today? What can I help you with? I say, I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but I want to make sure that I'm, you know, respecting where you want to be with this conversation today. And I always warn them. I say, listen, I have a lot of enthusiasm about this because it has allowed me to feel great. And so a lot of them know my story. And so most patients coming in to see me, they come ready. Like they want to make the change, you know? And so I have them do a 24-hour food log and we go from there. That is so helpful to say, all right, let's look at what's the first thing you have when you wake up. I have coffee. I heard coffee is bad. Actually, coffee's always been linked to improved survival from every cause. Coffee's not bad. What you put in your coffee may be bad. Light and medium roast is where you get the most benefit. The dark roast, you lose a little bit because it's kind of over roasted. Mm-hmm. But what's really fascinating is the food science suggests that if you put dairy in coffee, you have reduced absorption of the chlorogenic acid, which is the constituent that gives you that health benefit. So, you know, maybe try a plant milk in your coffee. And for me, I love soy milk in coffee because it has fat. You want to create, when you're doing those swaps, you want to switch the animal-based product out for something that's going to be very similar in texture and taste and consistency. And so the soy milk is a beautiful swap for cow milk. Lunch is usually where I start to see the animal products. You know, most
sandwiches
of my patients,
and...
yeah. So that's where we start to do the conversation. And I always try to help people get breakfast and lunch plant-based as possible. Those are pretty easy. And then dinner, we say, all right, if you want to do your little bit of animal protein, fine. What does that look like? Maybe 3 to 4 ounces, the size of the palm of your hand. We don't need to supersize meat. Let's make sure that at that same point in time, whenever you're preparing a meal at dinner, that at least 50% of that plate is from vegetables or fruit, a quarter from whole grains. Holy cow. I have so many folks coming in and saying, oh, I'm carb free. I don't do grains, blah, blah, blah. You need carbohydrates. It's a very important source of fuel. Whole grains give you fiber. We have a fiber deficiency that is dramatic in our country.
Huge in America, yes. And we are never, ever, ever meeting the guidelines for fruit and vegetable intake.
I know, you're right.
Ever.
91% of women are fiber deficient. 95% of men are fiber deficient. And everyone's worried about protein. No one is protein deficient. Now, I'm not saying you don't need protein, but I'm saying you need to equally focus on fiber. It's critical. So you get that fiber from plant foods. You don't get it from animal products. Very important. Like you just said, Tara, vegetables and fruits, 90% of Americans don't get vegetables and fruits. They don't get what's recommended. 5 a day. When you get 5 servings of vegetables and fruits a day versus 2, 5 or more is where we see the reduction in mortality. There was also a really cool study, and what it showed is when you hit that 5 versus 2 servings of vegetables and fruits a day, you reduce dying from respiratory disease. So what comes to mind? COVID, right?
Ooh.
So there was a really cool study among healthcare workers. And what it showed is those that were more on a plant-based diet or a pescatarian diet, so that'd be a plant-based diet that allows fish, right? There was a 73% lower risk of moderate to severe COVID among those who were plant-based and a 59% lower risk among those who were pescatarian. So then those people on the keto diet that had low carbohydrates, again, thumbs down, in my opinion, to low carbohydrate diets,
yes.
There was a 3.5-fold greater risk of moderate to severe COVID. So, hey, we know that eating this plant-based diet with more vegetables and fruits, getting at least 5 or more, I say a serving is equal to the size of the fist. You know, that's easy. That's
yes.
Not even that much. But our problem is 90% of Americans don't get enough. So people automatically think, well, that's probably because of food insecurity. Well, I did a study at Mayo Clinic last year in our cancer center, looking at our breast cancer patients. Only 5% of 700 women that the charts reviewed got more than 5 servings of vegetables and fruits a day.
Wow.
And only 15 of those 700 expressed that they had food insecurity. So yes, food insecurity is a major concern that we need to work on. But additionally, this problem is for everyone. It traverses all socioeconomic classes. So more vegetables and fruits, very important. More fiber, very important. We want women to get 30 grams of fiber. Men, you need 35.
Yes, ma'am. You're an honorary dietitian. If people told you that, like, you can just add the letters behind your name.
I want to be. Like, I love it.
You're gonna have a huge pay cut, but yes, that's
that's okay. I love the food. It's important.
An argument that I hear, which you are absolutely dispelling right now, is that eating healthy or eating plants is expensive. And I know that berries are expensive. I have toddlers, and they're gonna like put my family into debt. I get it. You know what else is expensive? Meat. You know what's not expensive? Bananas, beans, brown rice. Like, you guys, go look at your grocery bill and look at what, I don't know, the meat section says or whatever it says for all of your animal proteins. Promise you, it's more than you think, and it is a lot of money. Yes, blueberries are expensive if you're in Minnesota in November. Okay, then let's talk about either frozen or let's talk about what is local to you in the season that you're in.
That is so important. There was actually a study. This is so cool. It was published in 2023 in JAMA, looking at the cost of a vegan versus a standard American diet. And you are absolutely right, Tara. The vegan diet was 16% less expensive than the standard American diet, which was a savings of $500 a year. So cool.
Dr. Misalem is living proof that a whole food, plant-based diet can save lives. First, let's talk about that phrase, whole food, plant-based. It involves avoiding ultra-processed foods, which increase your chance of developing chronic disease. But going vegan or whole food, plant-based doesn't have to be restrictive. Think about it as a paradigm shift, from all the foods you aren't eating to all the foods you are. And the shift can be gradual. If you're interested in transitioning to a plant-based diet, consider going meat-free for breakfast and lunch. Then, for dinner, only having a small portion of meat around the size of your palm. The goal is to eat about 5 fistfuls of fruits and veggies a day. The result? More fiber and nutrients, and a deeper appreciation for the taste of naturally occurring foods without added ingredients. Maybe that means grabbing food from the local farmer's market or the frozen food aisle. A whole food plant-based diet is not only better for your health, it might be better for your wallet too. Now let's talk about some of the most common misconceptions about going meatless. Do you mind playing a little vegan true or false with me?
Let's do it.
True or false, a vegan diet is always healthier. I think we would say false because we just talked about cookies and fries and candy, right? There's a lot of vegan candy out there, quote unquote. So that one would be false in my mind. Do you agree?
I 100% agree. Vegan doesn't classify the quality of that diet. So we need to know exactly what they're eating. We want it to be whole food, plant predominant.
Vegans heal faster. Do you have any data on healing?
That's the problem with some of this research is vegan diet doesn't clarify exactly the quality of that diet. So now we're doing much smarter research to investigate whole food plant-based. So that's not universally true that there's going to be faster healing or a more healthier profile. There was this breast cancer study that was great. It was 65,000 French women. Okay, big study. And what they showed is that those on the healthy plant-based diet that was whole food had a 14% reduced risk of breast cancer. But here it comes. Those on that ultra-processed, unhealthy, fake food.
Standard.
That's plant-based, like, you know, the fake cheese, the fake meat, blah, blah, blah. 20% increased risk of breast cancer. So when someone comes in and says, hey, Dawn, I'm vegan, keep telling me more. What did you have for breakfast today? You know, Diet Coke and French fries, that's vegan. So what does that mean? So the quality is so, so important.
This is a common one. True or false, most vegans do not get enough protein.
Definitely false.
You can absolutely meet your protein needs without animal products. I promise I'll help you. You will likely have a nutrition deficiency if you do not eat a wide variety of foods, including animal products.
Definitely not. You do need to plan your food properly. People not doing any animal products are going to need B12 supplementation unless you're doing fortified foods, which is possible.
Soy milk has B12 in it. Like my soy milk, a glass, a cup of it has almost all the B12, I think, that's needed. I'm like, oh, That was very good. I'll keep drinking this.
And nutritional yeast is another one. That's a fun add-in to foods to make it taste cheesy. There's a lot of B12 usually fortified in that as well. But I agree. Nutrient deficiencies, we see a lot in the standard American diet because people are eating meat, they think all of a sudden that there's a lot of nutrients. And it's actually the opposite. You know, you're getting a lot of unhealthy, saturated fat. And then you're eating all those ultra-processed foods that don't have the nutrients you need. So vitamin deficiency of B12 is something, though, for our whole food plant-based folks that we need to be mindful of. Vitamin D is another one. That's really more of a hormone mm-hmm. than a vitamin anyways. With sun exposure, you know, you can get some from milk, from even mushrooms, you can get some vitamin D.
I tell people about four things to be mindful of, and I'll help them. A lot of times it's teenagers and their parents are like, my teenager is turning vegan and I'm guaranteed she's not getting enough of whatever. So we talk about the risks, which would be B12, vitamin D, sometimes calcium. Again, if you're eating broccoli, like, you're great, but keep going. But it can be a concern, especially for younger people. And then possibly iron. But again, we have options, but you have to be intentional about it. You absolutely are at risk of these deficiencies, but it's not inevitable if you plan well.
That's right. And I think another huge one I really want to emphasize is omega-3 fatty acids. So if you're doing that vegan diet and you're not getting chia seeds, flax seeds, walnuts, big problem. You need those omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, that's a good reminder that this is not in any way a fat-free diet. I know that there are people on the internet right now doing something called fruitinism, they're just eating fruit. And I have lots of good things to say about fruit, but we didn't say fat-free. You can get healthy fats from plants. True or false, vegans lose the ability to digest meat.
So if you're not doing animal protein, especially if you're not doing dairy, you know, you're going to lose some of those enzymes within the gut microbiota that are going to allow you to process it as easy. So you may not feel as good. That would be if it's a longer duration of time that you're avoiding this meat. So I would say that it is possible that you may feel uncomfortable, but you mm-hmm. don't totally lose the opportunity if you want to have meat again in the future. And
yes.
Again, this is a shout out to say, I don't tell patients they need to be perfect with this plant-only diet. If they want to have a little bit of animal protein, go ahead. If it's 80 to 90% perfect, hey, that's perfect. If you just add one whole food plant-based meal a week, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, little steps
we'll take it.
Are all it takes.
I hate this myth. I'm just going to call it a myth right now. And I think you're going to bring the research because you've got lots of numbers in your head. Okay. Consuming soy increases your risk of cancer. Like, you can see, like, I'm already mad about it. Consuming soy increases your risk of cancer. Just shout it, please, Dr. Musalem.
This is the biggest myth out there. Anytime I talk to doctors, yeah, I say, I need everyone to listen to me right now.
Shut up and listen.
Listen. Soy does not increase the risk of breast cancer. Soy may prevent the risk of not just breast cancer, prostate cancer, even lung cancer. We know it enhances the gut microbiome. When we enhance the gut microbiome, you have better immune function, which is better surveillance for cancer. If you're a breast cancer survivor, the American Cancer Society just published a beautiful review. And in fact, in this 2022 publication of the importance of nutrition and exercise after a cancer diagnosis, there was three whole paragraphs dedicated to soy and breast cancer. There was a beautiful review that showed that those breast cancer survivors that had more soy versus those that didn't, those with more soy had a 25% reduced risk of breast cancer coming back. This is most predominant in women with the estrogen negative tumor, but mm-hmm. we see the benefit among all types of breast cancer, including ER positive. So very, very important. There's even an overall survival benefit among these breast cancer survivors. So shout out that soy is very safe, and it suggests that it prevents cancer and survivors. It can keep it away. So enjoy it.
It's also a great source of a lot of things that we talked about that you may be deficient in or be at risk of. So if you're looking for protein, everyone who's freaked out about not eating protein, soy milk is the most equivalent in terms of protein content to cow's milk. And I think tofu, I know that you got to get used to it. I think tofu is great. So just get a better recipe. I'll share my tofu recipes, you guys. Can you think of any other myths that, again, like me, like, drive you absolutely crazy?
No, those are the biggest ones. You know, building muscle, a lot of people mm-hmm. feel that you can't build muscle, or athletes need more protein, those sorts of things. Absolutely not. You know, we know that if you eat the proper diet, you can absolutely build muscle. And we know that for recovery, some of the world's top athletes are whole food plant-based.
Yes, they are.
They have very quick recovery. I think you nailed all the major myths that I hear day in and day out.
Love it.
despite what you might have heard, a vegan diet isn't necessarily healthier than one that includes meat and animal products, though a whole food plant-based diet definitely is. Going plant-based won't make you nutrient deficient either. A whole food diet can actually fulfill someone's nutritional needs. Protein can be found in beans, lentils, and tofu, just like how you can get omega-3 from nuts and seeds, or how you can get B12 from fortified nutritional yeast or soy milk. Speaking of soy, there's also no evidence that soy products increase the risk of breast cancer. In fact, it reduces the risk of breast, prostate, and lung cancer, and is a great source of protein. Sure, you could go back to eating meat, but there's still an adjustment period. And processed meat boosts your risk of cancer too. But what about the practical and social implications of going vegan? What should people know before diving into a whole food diet? Let's talk about a topic that is a little bit stuck in the middle, right? So we're not talking about cookies and fries. We're also not talking about fruits and vegetables. What about the imitation meats, the imitation cheese, like fake foods? They're trying to make an animal-based food out of a plant, but it's clearly highly processed because you can't make a burger out of beans unless you know that you're eating a bean burger, or they add a lot of extra ingredients to make it taste not like a bean burger.
This is where you have to show up for yourself. You know, when you're doing a whole food plant-based diet, you have to spend time doing it. That is the one thing it does require more of, is time. Mm-hmm. If you don't show up for your well care, you're going to show up for your sick care. That's for sure. So I personally do not like these fake food products. There's not really enough research on them. What is really interesting when we see some of these studies with the fake meat, there was an interesting study that came out of Stanford. It was a swap meat study. You know, we saw some improved markers, like something gut microbiome constituent. It's called TMAO. It's basically what happens when you consume animal protein, when you consume meat. The carnitine in the gut microbiome goes to TMAO, which then causes atherogenic plaque. So if an animal eater gets their TMAO measured, it's high. If someone's doing fake hamburgers and those ingredients are ultra processed, we see that TMAO isn't necessarily as high as it is in a meat eater, but we don't see the health benefit that we would have expected, right? Because there's going to be other health issues because it's a fake food. Mm-hmm. So you need to spend time on making a delicious bean burger. They're wonderful.
Yes.
So that is where I really like to give that shout out with the fake cheeses or the fake egg products. You look at those ingredients and the number one ingredient is, you know, heavily processed oils.
Yeah.
You got to really then compare and say, what's your why? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Why are you not going to just do the cheese? The cheese is more whole food. So in those situations, if I have a patient with a tendency to use cheese, I say, you know, let's just use maybe a little less so you get less saturated fat. Cheese is the number one source of saturated fat in our country.
Absolutely.
We know that fake food is going to be more maybe ethical. It's going to be more compassionate from that standpoint because you're not killing animals. So I understand people's stance on that. But there are many ways to even make cheesy products with cashews. You can make different cheesy sauces. So you can have fun in the kitchen to recreate what it is you desire. And there's nothing more pleasurable than taking your favorite cultural food and transforming it to what you want by using whole foods. So it's fun in the kitchen. Involve your kids. This can be a family affair. It's really lovely.
And I think it's important when people eat a vegetarian meal that you know what you're eating. So I'm not going to give you MayoClinic.org has a really, really fabulous black bean beet burger. Have you ever made that?
Oh, it's so delicious.
It's so good. It's so good. But I'm not going to give it to my husband and say, this is a burger. I'm giving it to my husband saying, I made these black bean beet burgers, put some hummus on it, right? So we're not pretending that we're giving you an equivalent in terms of taste. We are not. They are not the same food. But you have to be aware of that and you have to experiment. Something that's in our plant-based whole foods book at Mayo that we give to patients is if you want to use these foods, kind of fake foods as you call them, you can use them as a transitional food.
I agree, Tara. And I use that with my daughter, actually, because it was a good stepping stone for her. She did like some animal meat. She just is a little bit towards a carnivore at times when she was younger. I'm like, how is this happening? But you can't force it, right? So you just make sure there's healthy things at the same time. But for her, some of those alternative meats were a way to kind of transition her over. And now that she's in college, she loves a whole food plant-based approach.
On that same topic, let's talk about some of the barriers, right? So family is a barrier. So when you have that patient who says, my husband's never going to do this, or my family, or I have little kids at home, it sounds like your approach was, okay, we're not asking you to completely change those family members' diets in a 180-degree turn, but we are asking you to do more of plants. We're just trying to add more of the good stuff.
I entirely agree. That's exactly it. Even if someone's not interested in removing meat at all, I just say, okay, let's just try to get you to get your 5 servings of vegetables and fruits a day and get some whole grains and so you can get your fiber. If you get more fiber, they get fuller. And so it weeds out their opportunity to even need and desire quite as much meat. I always say 50% of whatever you eat, whenever you eat, just look at your bowl or look at your plate and kind of estimate, hey, is that 50% vegetables or 50% fruit, depending what your meal is? Yeah. All right, good. Then go for it. And that's like you getting your little 3 ounces of some chicken or beef or whatever you want. Now, with that being said, I always like to say, I don't, because I live in harmony with this. And
sure,
that's very important. I have a lot of patients coming in and they're whole food plant-based and they're like very turbulent. They're kind of stressed about it. They're doing it because they got stuck with this cancer diagnosis and they feel trapped. And I really try to transform that. I want this to be something that's fun. It like fills that heart with joy and love that you're giving back to yourself and your family. And I really want that message. I love food as medicine, but I like food as love more. And that's what I want people to really prioritize. And look at the beautiful colors of the food. When you put it in your mouth, taste the food. It's really exciting to kind of pivot food into this really sensory smorgasbord.
Another difficulty can be restaurants. So I don't want to be the one who lists 10 substitutions. I don't want to instruct my server exactly what the chef is going to bring me. How do you navigate eating out?
It can be a little bit tricky. It can, but you know, you are the consumer. This is a service. You're paying for this, right?
They want you to come back as well.
Yeah. So I'm just here to say that if you're going in and you feel a little timid and shy, I can guarantee I've been at a restaurant and I've already asked for all those substitutions. So don't worry about it. But I do it in a way that I'm just so grateful and thankful. And, you know, I have a friend who's whole food plant only also. And I went out to dinner with her and I'm like, do you mind doing this? Do you mind? And then she orders and she goes, I would like to make kind of a little special request. I have multiple allergies. I'm like, you do? Anyways, that was a lot easier approach, you know? And so she's like, I have an allergy to dairy and I have an allergy to animal protein. I was out of lap, but they were a little bit more open to helping her than helping me because I gave this long list of things. So, you know, you learn over time what restaurants can fill the sort of foods that are going to give you the enjoyment if you really want to be strict and more towards that perfection of your whole food plant-based or plant predominant diet. But I usually really work with patients, say, hey, when we're at home, let's try to be perfect at home.
Sure.
So when you eat out, you can kind of let go a little bit. Like that's where go enjoy it, you know? Yeah. You know, and still maybe ask them to keep the sauces on the side. And again, 50% vegetables or fruits and what you're getting, you know, don't throw the whole meal away sort of a thing.
I also tell people that sometimes or oftentimes, I should say, when you're making a request, it's less work for the kitchen, right? Like me asking you to please not put cheese on my salad is not another task for them to do. They're just going to not put cheese on my salad, right? It's just, it's not always as complicated as it seems.
And this is so common in every state across our country now is this movement more towards food as medicine, because we know that poor nutrition is the leading cause of death in our country. So the government is really having a lot of initiatives to make us healthier via food as medicine movement. So restaurants are helping to support this initiative. Many chefs are really excited in this space themselves. So I think it's become so easy. Oh my gosh, compared to where it was 10, 20, 30 years ago growing up, it is so easy now to do this that I don't even feel the resistance or the challenges when I go to any restaurant because there's so many options on the menus. And ask when you go to the restaurant, do you have a vegan menu? Most of them do. They're just not bringing it to you. Or they'll say, oh, we have these items that would suit you. And then a lot of times they'll say, and you know, the chef usually does this too. And then all of a sudden you get your meal out and you're with these other people doing more
standard.
That's exactly, it's like amazing. You get more volume too. They give you more food. I mean,
yes, they
think you need more. I'm like, oh, thanks. This is great. You know, and then I usually thank them, you know, let the chef know this is wonderful for other people coming. I let them know I'm a doctor at Mayo and that this is what I do. And I'm so grateful that they made this amazing food.
You have nailed this since a young age, but How do you help people navigate social pressure, cultural pressure, pressure to like, oh, come on, like just have a burger. Like, it's not that bad. Whatever the it's not that bad statement is of the week. How do you help people navigate said pressure?
You need to be confident with your choice. You're doing this for a reason. There's a purpose and meaning behind it, and you should trust that. You owe it to yourself to be authentic to your own belief. That's usually what I let patients know. And again, I do work with women with cancer, and so they become very empowered.
Yeah.
The nutrition for them gives them autonomy over their diagnosis, and they become advocates
yes.
towards this. It's super cool to see this evolution and transformation of that mindset, if you may, and they become very proud. And so a lot of them engage their friends. So not just being confident, but,
yeah.
you know, be a change agent. Help us.
No one's going to argue your cancer diagnosis, improving
yeah.
your health.
And hey, let's talk about primary prevention, right?
Yeah.
So for those out you, probably the majority who don't have cancer, I never want you to have it. And processed meat is a carcinogen.
It's
listed. In the same category as cigarettes. We know that red and processed meat is linked to cases of colorectal cancer. And we see the rise of colorectal cancer among young people. So this is a real thing. We want people to be healthy. We want to prevent disease. The only diet on earth that's ever been shown to do three things, both prevent, treat, and reverse diseases like diabetes, coronary artery disease, and even early stage prostate cancer is that of a whole food plant-based diet. So we need to pay attention to this, because we can't continue to be sick and suffer like we have in our country. And eating healthier, again, not perfect, but eating healthier will help us to accomplish this. So yes, cultural and social pressures may be a thing, but be true to yourself, be authentic to the reason that you want to be the healthiest version of you.
Social events, like, do you show up to every social event like with a veggie platter? Or because you can obviously always control what you bring, but sometimes it's not a potluck. Sometimes you're at a happy hour. Sometimes you're at someone else's house. How do you navigate those social situations?
Well, I think it's awesome. If you are going to someone's house, bring something that's plant-based, that's delicious. Like, bring your favorite recipe to really inspire those other folks that are there. I recently had an event with a group of Mayo Clinic staff members that was at the baseball field. And, you know, things were busy, so I didn't call ahead. Usually I call ahead and make sure there's something plant-based. But they must have known I was coming. Because sure enough, they had this huge bowl of salad with the dressing on the side. It was a gorgeous salad at the baseball field. And they had some nuts, which nuts are fine. You know, so there's always, in my experience, going to be something that you can find that's doable. I've not been to anything where there wasn't something I can enjoy. And I always keep, you know, like a piece of fruit in my handbag and a bag of nuts and things that if there isn't in the case something there, I could just reach in and nibble on whatever I brought with me. And there you go.
So I will say it out loud. You and I have privilege. We live in cities that have grocery stores with like entire vegan plant-based aisles, right? We have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. What about people who do not have as much access?
Yeah. You know, this is, I really enjoy this question. And this is something that I really am working to be active change agent as well. We have the Blue Zones Project
yeah.
in Jacksonville at Mayo Clinic. We're part of this. So we're working with the supermarkets in these areas of food deserts. We're working with community farmers.
So
we're working with insurers to try to also understand this food is medicine. Do produce prescriptions. Look at WIC and SNAP and federally funded food programs where there's a discount on the healthy food. Helping these folks understand and learn how to cook their cultural cuisine in a way that's healthier. You know, beans, they can come in a can, they're dry, they have shelf life. Very easy in this situation for a healthy-based protein. But really leaning on the community, looking at these initiatives with different farms and gardens, farmers markets in these local areas is a need.
Yeah, local farmers market more recently added SNAP benefits because those can be expensive, right? Like farmers market foods can be more expensive than the grocery store.
Yeah, but you know, you bring up something important. And frozen vegetables and frozen fruit are great.
Just fine.
Just perfect. So I really encourage that. Canned vegetables are usually going to be a little higher in sodium. Canned fruit usually has the sugar in it. So, you know, I would rather people do the frozen. Fresh is great, but frozen is just as good. So I have the majority frozen vegetables and fruits in my refrigerator because of the busy schedule. Yes. It allows me to have things that don't perish. And I rely on that.
Thank you so, so much, Dr. Lee Salem, for being here today. This was so informative and so fun for me.
Tara, thank you. I just springboarded right off of your enthusiasm and they can't see us, but our smiles are ear to ear. We're super excited and we just wish you good luck in your journey with being the healthiest version of you and make sure you try to eat as plant forward as possible.
Imitation foods like plant-based cheese or pre-made bean burgers can be an ethical and tasty way to transition over to veganism. But the processed ingredients may be less healthy than you think. A whole food diet presents a great opportunity to become more mindful of and involved in the preparation of your food. Even if your household isn't on board for a total whole food switch, they can still benefit from a gradual or partial introduction. Where it might get difficult is restaurants with limiting menus. There, the choice is yours. You could claim to have a meat or dairy intolerance, you could ask for vegan substitutions, or you could take what's available and jump back into your whole food diet at home. The true middle ground is social gatherings. You can bring your own snacks or dishes to share, or there may be something that suits your diet already available. Regardless of the environment, a whole food plant-based diet has too many benefits to listen to the critics. Be loud and proud. In the long run, your body will thank you. That's all for this episode. But if you've got a question or topic suggestion, you can leave us a voicemail at 507-538-6272. We might even feature your voice on the show. For more on nutrition episodes and resources, check us out online at mayoclinic.org/onnutrition. Thanks for listening. And until next time, eat well and be well.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as medical or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for any medical questions. The appearance of any guest does not imply an endorsement of them, their employer, or any entity they represent. The views and opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Mayo Clinic. Reference to any product, service, or entity does not constitute an endorsement of or recommendation by Mayo Clinic.